So the big question is this. How do entrepreneurial salespeople like us, who have traditionally sold alone and used gut and intuition to hit their number, take their innate talents and begin selling using science, technology, and the secrets of thousands who have done it before to crush their quota and change the world? That is the question, and this podcast provides the answer. Welcome, everybody, to the Sales Secrets Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about next-gen salespeople. What does that salesperson 2.0 look like? How do you create them? How do you develop them? And to do that, we've brought on a special guest. We've had a couple fun conversations. He's currently the VP of sales at a company called PracticePartner.com, and his name is Mor Ossolini. Mor, how the heck are you? And thanks for joining.
I'm good. Just a quick thing. It's PracticePanther.com, Panther, but I'm excellent. How are you?
Yeah, man. Well, pretty good. It's Friday, so I'm excited for the weekend. But, you know, you got it. What the day still is not over. Want to jump into this concept of sales rep 2.0 before we do. Maybe you can tell us just a little bit about yourself and kind of what you do over there.
Sure. I mean, right now I manage all the inbound sales, inbound leads, and the sales team at Practice Panther. So it's a legal case management software, cloud-based. Funny story, actually, about this is the third startup that I'm at. But before this, I was doing real estate in Miami like everybody else. It's just a saturated market. But my first job out of college, I applied on Craigslist. It was a legitimate company. It was a sales job. And I just took the job because that's what I was supposed to do after college. First day on the job, 30 minutes in, I walked to the owner and I told him I quit. And he asked me why, and I said I was scared of sales. Like, I just couldn't pick up the phone. Years later, now we're here, and now I manage a sales team. And I've done over 72,000 cold calls when I was in real estate. And it's just interesting how it's a big circle. When that's your destiny, that's your destiny.
I love it, man. I love it. You got to do what you got to do. Well, sounds like you got some fun experience, and I want to dive into that. Maybe we start just with this. I mean, when you and I were talking kind of pre-show, this idea of the sales 2.0, what is that? You know, what does the next-gen person at a high level look like?
Great question. So I'll tell you what they're not. So if you were to take an old school salesperson, you would probably think of someone that's selling encyclopedias door to door or car salesperson, where they're just shoving product down your throat. Nowadays, customers they have the luxury of going online on their phone while you're pitching them and then Googling competitors and Googling whether or not you're telling the truth and other options. So knowing this, a salesperson 2.0 should really be cognizant of that. And especially when it comes to like SaaS, right? Pursuing long-term customer engagement is the name of the game.
Right.
SaaS is just as good as the value you actually bring a customer. And that value actually needs to be done continuously, month over month or year after year. And I think a salesperson 2.0 is not necessarily a consultant, not necessarily someone that just troubleshoots something, but is more of an extension of the customer. So if you're doing B2B, that salesperson should be an extension of that business. And they're on the same boat. They're on the same line of defense here.
I love it. I mean, you've had some experience doing this, and one of the things you mentioned was really key is just starting with the idea of hiring somebody with slightly different DNA. Can you talk about that? I mean, you've obviously brought on in your career, you've worked with a lot of sales reps, you've hired a lot of sales reps. How do you start to think about this person and bringing them on rather than having to develop it per se? And I'm sure there's part of that needs to happen, but how do you get them right before they walk in the door?
I mean, there's a few ways, right? So I always find, you know, in business and in sales, the best way to get additional customers is by asking referrals from the raving fans. And I think you could apply the same approach when it comes to finding other salespeople. So the best way to do it is internally, right? You ask the next salesperson next to you, hey, do you know anyone that would love this job that would be good at it? So that's one, referrals. I'm actually very aware of wherever, if I go to a restaurant, I'm very aware of the waiters and how they behave. So I've actually gone to restaurants, seen how the waiters treated me and the people around, and if they're quick, sharp, I coached them. I said, hey, you're pretty good at this. Is this something that you want to do for the rest of the life? And they're like, no, I don't want to be a waiter for the rest of my life. And then, you know, that's one way. I also look for potential. There's an article I recently wrote on medium.com. There was a situation, it wasn't a salesperson, but it was somebody that I hired for one of our departments, and he didn't necessarily fit the picture on paper, but this guy had insane potential. His work ethic was just insane. Like, he was very methodical with the way he approached the interview process. So I look for people that can out hustle other people, right? Talent, you could find talent over time, but people that are actually dedicated and they think long term, that's rare to come by, especially nowadays.
Yeah. Do you feel like, so you mentioned kind of out hustle. Do you feel like there's ways, I think you and I talked a little bit, I like the concept, this concept of curiosity. I know that's one you hit on when we were debating kind of pre-show. But they're always hard to find, like, I feel like in the interview, or they're a little more difficult to find. Like, how do you find someone who's a good hustler? I mean, you mentioned finding someone at a restaurant. Yeah. And they kind of, you saw them and experienced it. Maybe that is the key. You've got to find a way to see it or taste it or feel it. But any ideas to kind of find the diamond in the rough, sure, methods to do that?
So, I mean, I approach, besides, like, let's just say if I'm doing it in person, right? If I'm going to a restaurant or speaking to somebody or networking, obviously I go through LinkedIn, Indeed, and all that. But I think when you're doing phone sales, especially B2B, there's only two things that you're working with. It's what you're saying and how you're saying it. And the latter is probably more important. Tonality, you know, if someone calls you and doesn't smile and says, hey, Gabe, how's it going? Versus a smile, hey, Gabe, how's it going? You can kind of sense the difference. So the first part of any of my interview process, before I even get them in the door, is I kind of grill them on the phone, and I just ask them questions, asking them about themselves, and I want to see their tone of voice, right? And then I'll actually probably give them an objection. We'll role play on the phone, and I'll pretend I'll be a customer, and I'll tell them, hey, you don't know anything about the software, but let's just assume I'm objecting about price. Let's just assume I'm objecting about my experience from last competitors. You know, rebuttal that, and I want to see how they react.
I love that. Yeah, so you actually experience
in the door,
it. Yeah.
I actually do a kind of like a secret shopper, right? I have somebody from my other sales team give them a call to their cell phone or to the office line. And I'm like, yeah, hey, go pick it up. Go pick it up. It's like, yeah, but I don't know. I'm like, go pick it up. Depending on how they react, I could see how well they do under pressure. I could see how well they could kind of BS their way out of a call or in a call. And I look for that.
I like that. I like that. It's very real. Kind of gets them into, I don't know. Sometimes people go to, like, you can ask them a question that solicits some sort of response. But I think in sales, I mean, you know, either calling them up at their current job, doing a role play. I mean, you got to experience it. And that's probably how you can best see some of those types of characteristics. Now, something else you mentioned, that's kind of like the hiring process. This was an interesting one, this concept around procedures and how that can help really put people in the right frame of mind and just help them be successful. How have you made procedures kind of that type of thing that turns somebody into the best salesman they can? And what are some of those types of procedures?
Sure. So, I mean, it all started, this whole procedure thing, about maybe 2 years ago. I went to a trade show in Boca Raton. And it was pretty much for attorneys, but it was like business attorneys that ran their law firms like true businesses. And I met one attorney and I had a conversation, and she told me that she grew her firm from, I think it was 3% a year to 300% a year. And I thought it was a cute pitch, but I was like, okay, you know, tell me more. And she told me that when she wasn't in the office, the firm wouldn't know how to operate. So, I mean, I mulled it over and I went back and I was like, what happens if I get hit by a bus tomorrow and I need my sales team to operate? How can they operate without me? So that's kind of like the eureka moment. The whole part of procedures is it cuts unnecessary time. So, like, so many sales managers are preoccupied with stopping their day and answering, like, just very stupid questions that the salespeople could just answer themselves or figure it out on their own. Another time, like, here's an exercise that I did, right? There's an app called Toggle, and it's a time tracking app. So what I did was, when I first started doing these procedures, was I installed it on my Chrome, and anytime somebody came up to me to ask me a question that they could figure out on their own, I started the timer. Whenever they stopped, I stopped, and I did this for about 2 weeks, and I noticed that I've wasted I probably wasted over 4 hours just stopping and answering silly questions. So I created this procedure of like the how, the what, the when, yeah. the where.
Uh-huh.
So what happens when a lead comes in and it's, let's just say, a referral? What happens when a lead tells me they don't have enough time to look at the software? So I created all these procedures and I wrote down the answers and the solutions for them. So if they ever ask me, hey, Moore, what do I do? Hey, did you check the procedures? If they haven't, then I have them go there. And that's kind of how they learn by themselves, right? They become self-sufficient. And that's what I want. I want a team that could survive on their own.
Yeah, that's interesting, you know, because so many of us think that we're, you know, sales reps are just some kind of miracle workers. They can just shadow somebody for a day or and become, you know, amazing. But it's, you know, in every other aspect of life, especially sporting, is probably the best example. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a professional, you always have a coach and they coach, they give you procedures, they walk you through best steps, and then you kind of iterate from there.
Right.
So I'm always surprised when people don't have like some sort of playbook, procedure book, some sort of like, this is the best way to do it. Do this first and then make it your own versus, hey, welcome to the company. Why don't you just do whatever you want and figure it out because you're a salesperson.
Right. Really? And it's also a form, having a procedure, like you said, a playbook, a procedure, it's a form of measurement, right? You could use that as a tracking system and you can use that to scale your business.
I love that. I love that. How do you, diving one thing into procedures here is probably one of the biggest often overlooked thing is how people manage their day or time management. Is that something you've got into?
Right.
How do you help people think through kind of best practices or strategies there?
So I pretty much look at the macro and then the micro. The macro is they're there to make money, the most money out of their time, right? So they're there 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day. And then what I do is I reverse engineer it. So if their macro is, hey, I want to make the most money out of the day, how do I do that? And what do I need to do? And the answer is, right, I need to get demos, I need to close accounts, and to get demos, I need to prospect. And the way to do that is you start hunting. And this is something that I actually got from HubSpot. There was a senior VP of sales there, and I spoke to them, and they kind of shed some light, and I applied this same philosophy, hunting and farming. And I have my sales team hunt in the morning and then farm in the afternoon. Most people, anyways, are by their phones in the office. It's to B2B. During the business hours, right? Like an 8 to 7. So they're better off. The probability of getting somebody on the phone is higher when you're working the first half of the day than you are the second half of the day. It depends on the business, but I like to split it, hunting and farming.
Yeah. So how, and then go, you kind of direct them, like break your day down like this, right? Spend this time doing this and then that time doing that, right?
Right. And I think a big part of it is like, and if anyone is in the sales industry, they can back this up by saying prospecting daily is like the holy grail, right? Like for me, I consider prospecting as an insurance policy for when it's a slow month.
Yeah.
So while everyone is kind of in a slump, as long as you're prospecting day in and day out, even if you're making the best conversions in the world, the day that you're slow, you still planted those seeds back in the slow days. And now you can kind of reap what you prospected. And it's an insurance policy. That's what it is.
I love it. I love it, man. So as you think about, so we kind of wrap here and we think about creating this optimal salesperson, I love procedures and hiring and getting kind of detailed, even into the weeds a little bit, like around time management. Any kind of closing advice as people are trying to kind of get the best talent they can on their team to drive the numbers forward?
Interesting question. Wow. There's so much. There's so much, you know, something that I learned kind of the hard way was when I transitioned into my position into startup world, there's a lot of hats that you're wearing and you're getting thrown a lot of high priority tasks, right? So how you delegate those tasks and how you actually go about tackling them says a lot. I think the biggest thing that keeps me in line, and helps me with my sales team and it keeps them aligned is, focusing on the macros and the micros, right? You could get very caught up in the nitty gritty versus like, what's the main goal here? Are you trying to make money?
I think a
trick is if they're hiring, right, and they have like 10 things it's a to-do list of 10 things. Which one of those 10 things serves the macro and which one serves the micro? Macro meaning, well, it depends on the company, but it's usually high revenue, right, or low churn. So focus on the macro and then the micro.
I love it. I love it, man. Yeah, sales, we always get distracted. It's like you got to focus on what drives numbers for. Don't get caught up in, you know, the internal procedures or the politics. Like, go close the deal, man. Good. Well, hey, man, appreciate it. If someone wants to get in touch with you or learn a little bit more about some of the thought leadership or best practices you have, any recommendations on that?
Yeah, the best way, I'm a LinkedIn addict, so catch me on LinkedIn.
That's where we met. That's where Moore and I met. So.
Exactly, right? Yeah, so it's linkedin.com/IN, and then the full name is Moore Asselin. I guess you'll have that link somewhere on the
We will.
On the page that they can see.
We will. So you guys can check out the show notes. Again, I liked, he's got a lot of great stuff to say. He is kind of a LinkedIn addict. I love that word. So Moore, again, appreciate you joining. And for the audience, remember, here, success. Man. Is just one play away. Want more sales secrets? Go to salessecrets.io to receive copies of our latest research and best practice content to help you crush your quota.